I was advised, because I sought advice on this, that the entitlement was unclear, and so in order to avoid doubt, I paid the relevant money back. And that's what people should do. They should act within entitlements, they should err on the side of caution, and if there's any doubt, they should act immediately to clear the matter up. That's exactly what I've done.
Why would you claim it in the first place, Prime Minister, to go to a wedding?
Well, I was the Leader of the House of Representatives, and the Leader of the House of Representatives has certain representational roles, and I believed it was within entitlements. After the Michael Smith matter, I decided that I should check. I was advised that the matter was unclear, and in order to put the thing beyond doubt, the money was repaid.
You're starting to get a little suspicious of MPs' entitlements and the way they're spending them? That's Prime Minister Tony Abbott at a press conference from the APEC summit in Bali. He's addressing that entitlements controversy. That's his final answer during the press conference, incidentally. He, along with several ministers, including George Brandis, Barnaby Joyce, have repaid taxpayer funds, and several other MPs have come under scrutiny too. It's prompted calls for a review of parliamentary expense entitlements. What are the rules? Do they need an overhaul? And how do you, as a voter, feel about all of this? I'm joined now by Peter Timmins, who's an Australian lawyer and a consultant that works on freedom of information and privacy protection issues. He's got a blog called Open and Shut. He's with us now. Peter, thank you very much for your thoughts. Is there actually much going on here? Is it a question of smoke? Where there's smoke, there's fire?
Well, I guess we just don't know the full extent of these things, Waheed, but the reality is that this system is quite messy and it's been recognised as having problems for quite a long time. Way back in 2002, the Auditor-General raised issues about the system. And finally, after several other reminders, in 2009, Senator Joe Ludwig, who was the responsible minister at the time, set up a committee to undertake a review and to report to him, and that was said to be the first comprehensive review of the parliamentary entitlement system in over 35 years. He received the report 6 months later. It was headed by a woman called Barbara Belcher, who was formerly a senior officer in the Prime Minister's department. But he received the report 6 months later. The government sat on the report for a year, and in 2011, the then minister responsible, who was Gary Gray by this time, announced that the government accepted a couple of the recommendations and referred the others for further examination by the Remuneration Tribunal. It was about 29 recommendations. But if the point was that it was going to clarify the system and streamline it and improve transparency and accountability, I think we've got that report sort of sitting out there in some unknown territory. And the issues that have been raised in the last couple of days just point up the need to get on with some improvements to the system.
But I wonder how easy it is to improve the system. I mean, the Belcher Inquiry, as I understand it, found that travel entitlements were the most complex and ambiguous in the system. And that's kind of what we have here, it seems. People going to weddings, doing business on the side, or perhaps going to overseas, going to Malaysia or India or whatever, having some meetings, but there are also some personal aspects to their travel, and so they claim it. Now, as citizens, we do this all the time with our tax arrangements, don't we? We go overseas, we do a bit of work, we claim a portion of that as a deduction, and then we go ahead and doing it. And that's denying money to the Commonwealth as well. I mean, isn't there an irreducible ambiguity about this?
Well, I think that what it shows is that there might always be some borderline questions, but the language that's used in the policy and the rules that apply should be as sharp as we can make it. Perhaps it would also be assisted if we had something like a Parliamentary Integrity Commissioner, which was an idea that was floated when the Gillard government was formed. It was part of one of the agreements with the Greens or the Independents, and that never came to pass. Also, in the last Parliament, there was much talk, but no action, or no finality anyway, to the idea that there should be a code of conduct for parliamentarians. We don't have that either. So there's a range of things that I think should be looked at to improve the way the system operates. It's terribly complex now. Not only is it hard to write clear rules about these things, but for parliamentary entitlements, there are some paid by the Department of Finance, there are some paid by the Parliament itself, and if you're a parliamentarian who's a minister, there are other expenses that are paid on your behalf by the department that you're responsible for. So ministerial hospitality, for example. Now, that's not ever disclosed proactively. It's not published on the web. The payments that are made by the Department of Finance are up on the web, but they're not anything near real time. So if you go to the Department of Finance website and look for payments made to parliamentarians for the entitlements that department is responsible for, the last report is for the 6 months ending December 2012.
Right, so hence we're having all these bits of spending on weddings that happened in the previous government, government before that. And so I guess what I'm asking is, how much does any of that actually matter in the end? I mean, we can go through rules, but ultimately what's going to matter, and the heaviest penalty will be when you do something that the voters just think is a bit smelly, and that's going to come out eventually. And even if it is 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old, if you're the Prime Minister of the country, it's still going to look smelly and it's still going to hurt if there's actually anything to it.
Well, that's one view. I think the other view is that we've got certain expectations of transparency and accountability in 2013. We have a Freedom of Information Act designed to provide the rights of citizens to access government information, and the reason why we do that is for accountability purposes. Now, I think that there's another interesting angle to this, that in June this year, before Parliament rose for the election, both houses of Parliament passed a bill to exempt the Parliament itself from the Freedom of Information Act. It took 11 minutes for this legislation to go through the Parliament. There were no voices raised against it. The parliamentary departments get about $150, $160 million a year, some of which is spent in support of and payments for and on behalf of parliamentarians. It, of course, covers the rest of the operation of the Parliament itself. But we should have the same standard of transparency and accountability for the use of that money as we do for any other government agency. And this was really just sort of a ridiculous move, because at the same time the government and the opposition agreed to pass this legislation, it was non-contentious, that's why it went through the Parliament so quickly. There was a review of the Freedom of Information Act underway at the time. The report had been finished but had not yet been received by the government. One of the issues it was to look at was whether the Parliament should be covered. Well, surprise, surprise, after the Parliament voted to not be covered by the FOI Act, this independent review by Dr. Alan Hawke recommended that the parliamentary department should be covered, at least in respect of their administrative functions.
Yeah, it's hard to see why they shouldn't, I would have thought. Peter, thank you very much for your insights. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wally.
Tim Simmons, Australian lawyer. Sorry, Peter Timmons. God, I'm just having one of those days. Australian lawyer and consultant who works on freedom of information and privacy protection issues. He's got a blog. It's called Open and Shut. 29 minutes to 7. I'm interested just in you as a citizen. Does this stuff concern you? Or do you look at it and go, oh, it's probably all fine. There's nothing huge here. There's nothing egregious. Is it about double standards? I've got a text from Rob. Why is it that it's been different for Peter Slipper? Okay for the Libs, but not okay for others? Yeah, and I'm getting other texts along similar lines. 0418-226-576. 0418-226-576. And, of course, Peter Reith has made the comment that when you're a minister, you're 24-7 a minister. So all these sorts of expenses become part of your job. It's just there aren't any clear lines. Barnaby Joyce made the argument that when Gina Reinhart paid for him to fly to a wedding in India, it helped make the trip cheaper for taxpayers. So there's still some legitimate deductions there. Do you reckon that's a fair point? I don't know. Let me know. 0418-226-576.